So, what does it mean when you say that you would like to receive a third of a portion of food for your serving at any meal? Burp. What does it mean when you say you'd like to have a third of a portion of a food serving at every meal for yourself? Obviously, I had more than a third of a portion. No. What does it mean that you have a third of a portion for your food at every meal? Now, it means that you got to watch out for yourself, and you got to be careful for yourself, and you can't let anybody else get their fingers in the pie, because if you're having family style, who says what a third of a portion of a bowl of potatoes are? Who says what a third of a portion of a bunch of little pieces of meat that are hanging around there, you know? Who says what a third of a portion of anything is? You know? That's a good problem to have. I think that any mathematician would find that a very challenging experience. However, when you say to yourself, I will serve a third of a portion to Herb, because Herb wants a third of a portion of any food that we're eating. Whatever is being served, he wants just a third of a portion of that. Not a third of the whole, just a third of a portion of a portion. Now, if what would be his portion, or anybody's portion, then take a third of that. But that's so little, that's so small, you know, and I feel terrible giving him such a little bit. I don't think you should feel terrible. Nothing is hurting me, nothing's hurting anybody else, but a third of a portion. Now, why did I say a third of a portion? Because I could have said a quarter of a portion, or an eighth of a portion, or a sixteenth of a portion, or 1/32 of a portion, or I could have said half a portion, you know. I could have said anything, couldn't I? Or 3/4 of a portion. Now, why did I say a third? Because I said a third. Now, do I have to have a reason for saying whatever I say? Have I been eating basically a third of a portion at most of my meals? And have I been just perfect with it at most of my meals? Yes. And is Ellen's dog trying to tell us something here? She's trying to say, well, Ellen's the one that gave you more than a third of a portion. And Ellen should have given it to me, not to you. Because I want it and Herb doesn't, you know. Now, why is it that Ellen doesn't give me the other 2/3 of a portion of Herb's part and give Herb the third of a portion? Now, wouldn't that be a sensible thing to do? That'd be a real sensible thing to do. Nobody's shaking their head yes, because nobody wants to stick their foot in their mouth. Now, why is it that I say I'd like a third of a portion? Well, the tendency is for all of us to eat far more than we need. And that includes me. Now, I read the story about rats and how they were given a reduced, almost starvation diet, and that they lived about 9-10 lifetimes longer than they would normally live. And they were healthier than they were normally would have been. And they were sexier than they normally would have been. To the very end of their life, they were procreating far better than all the other mice at all other stages of development. These mice who were on the starvation diet were in peak performance. Now, is that true for humans? Maybe, maybe not. Is that something we should duplicate because it sounds like a good thing to live in a healthy body and to live longer? Well, I don't know. It's up to you individually. If I say to each one of you, and my name is Anita, I say, I like a vegetarian diet. I like to eat vegetarian foods. I like to eat foods that I think are healthy for me and I think are good for me because I just like them. Now, it's not that I won't eat anything else. It's just that I don't eat anything else. I only eat that which pleases me, which is a very normal, admirable thing to do. Now, why don't we all look at Anita and say, wow, what a beautiful woman. Wow, what a healthy girl. Wow, what a dynamic, forceful, fantastic person. I'd like to be just like her. So we started eating like Anita, you know? And we started living like Anita. Started running around the world having all the adventures that Anita has. No, that's not the way. Do you think all the mice that were being trained on the starvation diet did exactly the same thing? They all had their individual lives, didn't they? They all had their individual homes and their individual wives and children and their individual eating and their individual games that they played. Mice don't sit around doing nothing. They like running in circle cages and they like doing all sorts of things. And I don't know, what's that show that we saw of the mouse that was in the restaurant?
Oh, Ratatouille.
Again, please.
Ratatouille.
Again.
Ratatouille.
Okay, now you heard it. Just say that you heard it last from me. Ratatouille. Mm-hmm. Now, what did Ratatouille do? Ratatouille was in this restaurant, and he was trying to change this restaurant over from being a schlucky restaurant to being something of quality. And all the other mice said, ha, 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 it can't be done. We mice eat miserable things, and we mice like terrible things, you know, rotten things and stuff like that. That's our nature, because that's what we got. And so Ratatouille said, no way. He said, I have eaten in the best restaurants in the world, and I know what it's like to have quality food, and you should really have quality food. So he started getting his cohorts to eat quality food. And of course, they enjoyed it very much. And then he started getting himself active in these restaurants and doing very interesting things. Now, there was a problem, and they needed help. And so they put out the call. And all the mice and all the rats and all the creatures came and gave him a hand. Now, isn't that nice? Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Okay. Well, you see, these things are in the public's mind. These things are in the attention of people, that you can live longer, you can have diets that are healthy to you. But what sort of thing is it that helped these mice live longer? Quickly, tell me, anybody.
Happiness.
Huh?
Movement and happiness. That they move and they are happy. Otherwise they wouldn't move.
Their attitude.
What helped these mice to live longer? They were on a starvation diet.
Right.
You understand that?
Yes.
They were on a starvation diet. That's what we're talking about. Starvation diet. It's not what they ate. It's what they did not eat. They did not eat more than they needed for their body to continue
to
operating.
Alive.
No, let's get away from the emotions here. We're in the physiological aspect of it right now. Mm-hmm. The emotions come, but they are a little later. Now, right now, we're in the physiological aspect. They ate less. It's not what they ate less of, but they just ate less. They ate a very small portion of what they would normally have eaten. Now, in eating less of whatever it is they ate, and you can be sure they did not have all the vitamins and minerals and all the other things that were needed, you know? Can you imagine someone creating a rat diet that would have all the things that a rat would need to go through all the functions? We don't even know what the humans need to go through the functions of living a healthy life. I mean, you know, if you stop and think about it, the dog food is ideal for a dog. The dog is maintained on a special diet of eating so much, and he is healthy, and he has no problems at all. His body is coming along just beautifully, and he lives whatever the length of a dog's life should be, and he's healthy. He doesn't need to go. It's because you and I, we feed our dogs things not from their diet, but from the table, because we are trying to be loving. And so as we are trying to be loving to them, we are putting foods into them that are causing their body to be diseased and disharmonious. And as long as we keep doing that, they're going to be that way. Now, if we were to eat ourselves. The diet of a dog, would it be usually quite good? Yes, it'd be quite good. Now, what if somebody were to make a diet for human beings, like they have for dogs, and put everything in the diet that is necessary for a human being to operate functionally and perfectly and so forth, and make it in a pellet, you know, and serve you a little bowl full of pellets every meal if you wish, and it would give you all the things you need. You would soon acclimate to that new diet. You would soon agree to that new diet and be very comfortable with it because you know that it gives you everything you want. Then you can sit and talk all you want and you don't have to worry about eating too much or too little. Now, will that day come? Yeah, that day is soon at hand, but I think the day is soon at hand that's going to even surpass that. And the day that is soon at hand is going to be the day when we are happy people, when we are people who are living in an intelligent attitude about ourselves. We say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, can any of you or me, in the farthest reaches of our imagination, come up with an ideal diet for the ideal spirit, mind, and body? Can you come up with your ideal diet? Well, the ideal diet is what?
Salt.
The ideal diet is all is in divine order. Now, you don't walk on hot coals and be untouched because you're walking on hot coals. You walk on cool, wet moss and then you're untouched. You don't lay on a bed of nails because there are nails that are going to spike up through your skin. You lay on a bed of feathers, you know. It depends on what your consciousness is. Now, when you train yourself to realize that that's what you're doing, then that's what you're doing. Now, when you train yourself, as Emil said to Baird Spalding, remember? He said, Baird, what would you like? Would you like some grain, which you could grind and make into flour and make into bread and then make your bread and make your sandwiches out of your bread? Or would you like bread, you know? Or would you like some sandwiches that are already made up with beautiful sandwiches, you know, like these submarines, you know, just a terrific foot-long, 2-foot-long sandwich, you know? What would you like? Or would you like to have it already eaten, you're eating it and digesting it right now? Or would you like to have it already digested? So your body has already eaten it, digested it, and you are now just utilizing the energy from that food. How would you like to have it? Now, you see, that's the question that we must ask ourselves if we're going to be ready for this next phase that I'm recommending will be soon upon us. The next phase that will be soon upon us will be that we have no desire for water. We have no desire for air. We have no desire for food. And you say, boy, that is really way out. Yes, it is, isn't it? But there are people doing that right now. Not many, maybe more than we know, but there are people doing that. And there are people who have done it over the years, living in places where things just didn't grow, where there wasn't all that kind of food. Now, do you think that these people who live in these third world countries, who have diets that are certainly far from what the dietitian would say would be ideal, you know? Do you think that they live healthy bodies? Yes. Why do they live in healthy bodies? Because they have a healthy attitude about themselves. This is fine. This is the food that we survived on. Not survived on. This is the food that we ate. Now why, when you take these idiots from these third world countries, these idiots, and you bring them over to the other world countries, and they have a chance to have Kentucky Fried Chicken, hamburgers, and stuff like that, they don't want it. They order rice. They ordered what they had at home because that's what their body craves and calls for, and that's what they want. Now, if they reacclimate themselves or deacclimate themselves from rice into the Western diet, which can be done, then what do they claim along with the Western diet? All the illnesses that come with it. all of the diseases and all of the unhappiness that comes with it. Now, and there's a lot too. But where does it come from? Where does it come from? It's in the air. It's in the thinking. It's in the attitudes that people have. They think that their diet is insufficient, and they'll look at how many people get rickets these days. And you know what rickets are caused by? Rickets are the softening of the bones. And on the ships of Her Majesty's boats, people would get rickets after being out at sea for so long because they didn't have any more fruit juices. They didn't have any more orange juices or lemonade or anything like that. And so they would get rickets. And who was the first ones to get rickets? Were the cabin boys. Because they were the younger ones and they needed that as a support in their system for some reason. But they'd get rickets. And rickets would mean the softening of the bones and they'd break and they would have all sorts of problems. All sorts of problems. Now, how come? Now that it doesn't happen. But are people drinking a lot of orange juice on board ship? Not really. Are they taking a lot of vitamin C? No, not really. They just don't think it's there anymore. Now, the doctors will say that from Europe, measles and mumps and other childhood diseases are being brought over on ships and planes from foreign countries and starting up in America again. America was free of those diseases and now it's starting up again. Now, who's publishing all this stuff and telling all this stuff? Now, it happened in 3 cases. And they make a big thing about it and tell all over the United States, all over the world, how they have 3 cases and get people thinking in that negative way over those 3 cases. Now, isn't that fascinating? And this is what you do. And you know, it doesn't take more than 3 cases to get you thinking about it. It doesn't get you a little bit at all to realize that you're inferior and that you don't know and you are a poor person. You're stupid. Have somebody say that to you 5 or 10 times and pretty soon you start believing it. You know you're not stupid, but they keep saying it and you keep thinking about it and pretty soon you believe it, you know? It's stupid. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. Now, a man will say to a woman, I love you, I love you, I love you. Because he wants to have his way with her, okay? And pretty soon the woman believes him. She knows that's not what he wants. He just wants to get close to her. He just wants to own her. He just wants to possess her. He doesn't really want to be his the husband. You know what I mean? And he just uses his wiles to get her attention. And she wants it. She needs it. She desires it. And so she allows herself to be talked into things. Now, perhaps she didn't let herself be talked into anything because that's what she wanted in the first place. Now, how do we know these things? All we know is, can anyone ever intimidate you to say something you don't believe? I say to each of you, who are you? And you say, that's right, you inhibitedly don't say anything at all. You don't say, I'm God. You don't say, I'm number one. You don't say, I like me. You don't say these things. Bung, 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 bung. Right off the top of your voice. Doom, as quick as you can think of them, as quick as you can say them. What does Jesus say to his disciples? He said, follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men. Follow me, and I'll have you heal and raise the dead and do all these things. Follow me. And they said, oh, good, we'll just follow you and we can do all those things. No, 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 no. You've got to do a little bit of changing in your attitude. The attitude that says, I don't know how, to the attitude that says, I do. Now, that doesn't come easy because you're hanging on to your old thoughts and your old attitudes. You're hanging on to your old limitations, your old habits, and your old habits say it doesn't work. Now, how do you build new habits, new attitudes? How do you build these things? By affirming them. By affirming them and not going in anyone's attention who doesn't believe what you believe. So you associate with people who believe what you believe. You live with people who believe what you believe. You are around people. Jesus was not around people who didn't believe what he believed. Even the disciples, he said to them, oh, ye of little faith. Because they didn't believe. They didn't practice what he taught them to practice. And if they would have done it, they would have been done. Now, we watch I Dream of Jeannie. It's a rather fantastic show. And Jeannie does a beautiful thing as a genie in a bottle. And she comes out of the bottle, and she is just madly in love with the major. And so he treats her with the most interesting attitude. But instead of saying, "Jeannie, you can do anything. Wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Jeannie, make me whole and perfect. Eternally." Blink your eyes and it's done. "Jeannie, make me independently wealthy." Buck, it's done. "Jeannie, make me, whenever I choose and I think my uniform, I have it on. I think my play clothes, I have it on. Whatever I think, I have it." Yeah. Jeannie could do it. Now, why couldn't he do it? And she does do it for him occasionally, and he doesn't object, but, "Jeannie, I'd like a new car. You know, Jeannie, I like this, I like that." And then Jeannie would say, "Oh, Master, I'm so glad that you want me to do these things for you. But, Master, I will make you master of your request, too, so that you just speak your word, and whatever you speak your word for, it's done." Now, if they did that, the show wouldn't be the same, you know. And if they didn't have him objecting a little bit, the show wouldn't be the same. There'd be nothing to the show. It'd be sort of an empty shell, which it pretty closely is. But what about it? What about it? What makes those shows desirable for people to listen to? What makes Hogan's Heroes desirable to listen to? Because here they are in an unlikely prison camp during the Second World War in Germany, right in the middle of Germany, doing things that are impossible to do even in the middle of a very busy American city, you know? They would have trouble doing any of those things. Because what do they have to do? They had to purloin everything they wanted. They had to steal it. Because it didn't belong to them, but they had to take it. And yet they felt no guilt. And they had to blow up munitions trains because that was hurting the war effort. And they felt no guilt. Now, did people get blown up in the munitions trains? Of course not. Nobody gets killed in there. And they think they're, and they have the jacket of a person who's supposed to be killed, and they put it out there to show that he's killed, you know. But he's not killed. What do they do with him?
They send him to England.
They sent him to England. They send him back to England so that he'll be out of the war, you know. Now, isn't that the most idiotic, stupid, crazy, that they have over 100 people trekking out of there through their tunnels and stuff. Totally unrighteous, irreligious, irresponsible, totally unbelievable. But we love it because it is the way we think. We think nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And we can do it. So now think these things with me and realize that when I say I want a third of a portion of food, it's not that I want a third of a portion of food. I want the symbol of a third of a portion of food. You understand? I want the symbol of a third of a portion. And that's what I have. Now, I've been going through all sorts of interesting studies, and I'm going through them relative to my experiences and myself and my choice of foods and stuff. And the more I read, the more I learn, the more I realize it is 100% in the
mind.
100% in the mind. And really, we should all come to that awareness. Because when we come to that awareness, then we stop chasing around and stop trying to play games. Ingeborg was raised during the war when there was never enough to eat. And she always scraped the bottom of the dishes, and she always licked the dishes before they went off the table because she always wanted to get that extra food. She didn't need it. But she was taught that there's not enough, we have to make do with what we got. And they always had plenty. But she would do that. And to this day, she still licks the plates. To this day, she still cleans all the food off the bowl as though it's going out of style. Now, is that what we want? No. Then let's change our habits. Let's take what you want and leave the rest there. Can you throw that stuff away that you have not eaten? Oh, we got to have in the refrigerator. We got to keep it as what do you call it? What do you call it?
Leftovers.
Oh. Yes, we have to save it as leftovers. Leftovers. Leftovers for what? Don't we have enough money to buy new stuff to have for our meals? What are we going to do with those leftovers? And then you go in the refrigerator, and in the back of the refrigerator are leftovers that have been left over. They're forgotten. And, hey, we do not live in a leftover society, in a leftover attitude. We live in opulence. How can you be independently wealthy if you're going to hold on to leftovers? How can you be independently wealthy if you're going to pick up old clothes and old shoes, and if you're going to go to the store and say, I got a bargain. I got this at discount. I went to the second time around clothing store. That's nobody's business. If you went to the second time around clothing store because it was kind of fun to go there and bought something, just say, look what I got. Look at this beautiful new outfit I got. You don't even have to say it. Just put it on. People will recognize it. But I bought it at the second time around. Oh, I wonder whose that was. Who owned that before you did, you know? See, the old nose up in the air. Who was snooty? Don't do that. Whenever you have anything, say it's great. People say, I like your little recorder. It is so beautiful. Oh, yes, it is. New. It's $170. Fantastic. It'll record 139 hours of materials on it. Fantastic. In six different, or A, B, C, D, E, in five different files, you know? And all sorts of good stuff. And it'll record music. You can even have music on here and listen to music when you're not recording. It's a neat little thing. And, oh, where can I get a used one? You know, where can I get a discount one? Oh, I don't know. I don't know discount stores, and I don't know discount houses, and I don't know these places, because everything I buy is new and beautiful and fantastic, you know? And can I afford it? You bet. And what do I pay for it with? The money is there. And if I want it, it is even there without me even having to buy it. Ellen says, I like that idea. No, but really, when you think that you like something, the door opens. What happened to my favorite Apple telephone, the iPhone? It was something like $400 or $500 when I bought it. And now the new ones, which are 100 times greater and better than the ones that I bought a year ago, it's only $200. $200 from $500. And things are costing more nowadays. And on the telephone is so many more things and what have you. But I'm trying to tell you, when you live in an attitude, everything gets more and more, rather less and less expensive, more and more available, more and more. And when the apples went on sale for about a month, nobody could buy them hardly, except the people who were in line at the stores, and the people would number several thousand, and they wait in line. And once now you can get them very easily. They're available, no problem. And people will stand and explain them to you and everything else and sell them to you because the rush is over. But the rush still continues. Think big about everything in your life, but remember that you are the allness, the isness, and whatever you choose is yours now. But don't hang in with the old things. Go out for the new. Go out for the joy. Because you are number one. And that's the greatest thing in the world to be. And the food that you eat today is nothing tomorrow. And it becomes nothing as you eat it. And whether you eat rice or steak, it's still the same thing, whatever you choose. So, have a lovely day, and know that I see you supermaster, all in divine order right now, magnificently in divine order right now, wonderfully in divine order right now, in divine order, period, end. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Thank you.